Person should run for a mitzvah described as kala, light. Light mitzvahs. Which a person should run away from aveiros. She mitzvah goreres, mitzvah aveiros goreres aveiros. Mitzvah drags another mitzvah, and aveira drags along another aveira. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah, veschar aveira aveira. The reward for a mitzvah is mitzvah, and the reward for aveira is aveira. Those are the words, roughly translated. What does it say? So what are the problems? What don't we know? First thing is, what is the Benanzai trying to tell us? What's the clause? I don't even know what Sugi is talking about. What is it he wants to tell us? He wants to tell us that we should do good things, not do bad things. I got that much. But there's got to be something more to it. That's the mitzvah. That's a particular way to do mitzvahs, run to do mitzvahs. Is that particular? Are mitzvahs running away? You have to run after them? You have to catch up to them before they run away. Mitzvah kala. What is a mitzvah kala? Are there kalas and chamuris? There are in Chazal an idea of kala and chamuris. We already had it mentioned in the Pekyolis before. Do you have to run only after mitzvah kalas or even after mitzvah kalas? The ritza, the running that over here is particular mitzvah kalas. Berech min aveir. No kala there. Usually there's corresponding the two, the positive and the negative. So the mitzvah kala should be a very kala. If there are mitzvah kala, there are kala in the chamuris and the various for sure. Right, that's the state in the chazal. It's clear that they're depending on the ancient. Chamuris, krisis, chayvi mitzvahs. Kala is chayvi lavin. Yachasi, there are different levels of various. So there are kala in the chamuris by various also, but the mission doesn't mention any kala. Okay, so that's the first part of the mitzvah is to state and what you have to do. Uratz the mitzvah kalo uvarech minaveir. So those are the problems that we have with the first part of the Mishnah. Then there are two more parts of the Mishnah that the Rishonim deal with discussing what is it, how do they relate. The two possibilities are either these are two reasons, two separate reasons for why you should be Rostam Mitzvah Kala Berech Min HaAveira, in which case each one has to be learned on its own. Or the second possibility is that there are two statements that one continues to build on the next, meaning that Shemitzvah Geres Mitzvah Geres HaAveira is the reason for Rostam Mitzvah Kala Berech Min HaAveira. And if you didn't understand it yet, then there's going to be moisif, further explanation of further derivation of this concept. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah schar aveira aveira. The problem, either way you go, is what is, first of all, each statement in itself saying? And second of all, especially when you don't yet hear what each statement itself is saying, they both seem to be saying very similar things. To the point that if the general idea is that good things bring more good things and more bad things bring more bad things, then it was repeated twice. Now, these are two poetic ways of saying the more good you do, the more good you're going to do, the more bad you do, the more bad, you know, it's going to bring to you. Shemitzvah geres mitzvah, uschar mitzvah mitzvah could be two ways of expressing the continuum. If the second half is not meaning, schar mitzvah mitzvah doesn't mean this concept of schar, meaning that will bring you to do another one, but it actually means the concept of schar. So then there's the obvious question, which we shouldn't ask already, what do you mean schar mitzvah mitzvah? Schar mitzvah is oilam habah, schar mitzvah is oinik, schar mitzvah is toy, schar mitzvah is oilam habah, schar mitzvah is schar. Schar mitzvah is mitzvah, what is that? What?
Well, the mitzvah is
Olamah,
the mitzvah is eternal.
Is Is what?
Is another mitzvah.
I don't get it.
That's not really getting so much.
I don't get it.
That's it.
Can you translate it to me in English? Yes, in English.
Paritzka
the mitzvah.
Paritzka.
That's Olska. So what is the statement Schar mitzvah mean? Paritzka. Okay. So for you hit the problem you hear. So you're giving a possibility of how we're going to avoid the problem. But those are the problems in the Mishnah, more or less. Okay. So, and then somehow if we get this all together, we probably will get some. If we know each part what the Mishnah is, then the probabilities we'll start seeing some what is it that Benazir is trying to teach us. So this is a mishnah that is one of our onion missions. I have to peel it off in layers. It comes in this meant the layers, not this. It's very matok, but it's got layers. And they're all true. All the different approaches are all true, and they're all the same thing. But they're just inner and inner layers of the same concepts. But as not to get confused, and to try to bring out the most toels that we can from a mission like this. And a mission like this is extremely close to us, something very, very negei lemaisa. So we're going to, maybe slightly different than our standard, we're going to try to start off on the very outside levels, very simple levels. I want to hear, let's go, if we were learning the Mishnah the first time we were in 7 years old, what would be the right way to learn the Mishnah? And then let's understand that and see how we're supposed to bring that out for ourselves. Because that is also something that shouldn't be skipped. In a mission like this, each level is important to get. So if we had a 7-year-old that were trying to teach this Mishnah, some of the things that we learned in other Mishnahs, if I was teaching 7-year-olds, I hope I wouldn't teach it. That wouldn't be what should be done. You have to know in each level, in each thing, how the proper approach. In this mitzvah, you want to first start on a simple level, very, very, very basic. So, the Mishnah is telling us that, number one, that there's a concept of running to and running away. You have to run to mitzvahs. You should run to mitzvahs. You have to run away from avers. Which means, number one, what that means, simple, right? Is that this is an active arrangement. The normal way a person looks at things before this Mishnah is that Hu Holech B'Derech HaYosher. A person, I'm going normal life. What do I do all day? This is normal life. And then there are outstanding, exceptional occurrences that happen here and there. Some of them are positive ones, and sometimes they're negative ones. I'm going down my Derech HaChaim. I get up in my morning, and I go to do my whatever I do afterwards. And I have my Seder HaChaim. I run my life regular. Simple, straight. Then, things happen from the outside. What happens? A mitzvah hit me. Right. Somebody come tap me on the shoulder and told me, here, there's this mitzvah available. Would you like a part of it? So a mitzvah came my way. I recognize it as a mitzvah. Maybe I'll take it. Yeah, we hope I'll take it. There are mitzvahs that time brings. There are mitzvahs that you can't run after them because unless you have a time machine, the time brings. That's how we look at it. And time will come. There's nothing I can do to eat matzah now. Nothing. I have to wait till Pesach. And Pesach will come, I'll eat matzah. Rosh Hashanah, I'll blow shofar. And even Shabbos, I'm going to have to wait another 2 days. Time. I go my way. I'm down the path. just the way we understand, right? And then things happen, either because of things, mikrin that happen, other people do, other things that come my way, and only comes in my path, and then all of a sudden I have a mitzvah to talk about. And the same thing averus. Me and averus are unrelated. And I walk down the straight and narrow, I'm doing fine. I'm not mitzvahs, not averus, regular. And here and there what happens, mitzvahs, and happens averus. So you'll tell me, when a mitzvah comes your way, do it. And when an avera, you know, the big black man comes and stands in your way, and the snake comes around the tree and tries to get you to do an avera, don't do it. That would be the way we look at life. This Mishnah is clearly telling us not that way. The Mishnah is telling us that's not the way it is. Right? The relationship between mitzvahs and avera is, don't start from the outside. That's not the way you should approach it. That's dangerous. That's not the way it should be done. They have to start from the inside, from your own initiative. Right? You take the initiative. You start. You see a mitzvah. Right? You're never going to see a mitzvah standing right in front of your nose. Right? He's always going to be standing over there. And generally, he's going to be running in the other direction. You want to get them, you're going to have to work on it. Mitzvahs don't come easy. Rats. Right. Mitzvah kala. We're learning easy now, right? We're learning the easy chat now. Mitzvah kala, we'll say, means a mitzvah that is easy to come by, or it's easy to do. Mitzvah kala. It's easily available, it's easy to do. You don't have any problem with that mitzvah. It's not heavy on you. Right? It's easy on you. So sometimes the mitzvahs that are easier on us, for example, let's say putting on tefillin in the morning, after a person owns a kosher pair of tefillin, right? It's an automatic pilot, big deal. You get up in the morning, put on tefillin, right? It's a kala. It happens automatic. It happens without running after it. That's the way we think. So Misha tells us, no, you have to rots achrei mitzvahs. You have to run after your tefillin. You have to run after your tefillin in the morning. You have to run after them. They're right there on the shelf. Right? They were waiting for me all night. And I picked them up at whatever time that I get up every time, and I go to shul and I put them on. I go, what do you want? But this is the message of the mission is telling us, heavy rots the mitzvah kala. Kala, it's easy. It's available. It's simple. You don't have any problem. It's not hard. We're not telling you to go make Muhammad Zamolik or something that it's a little, one second, I have to think about that. I have to figure out how to do that. And that's difficult. Right? Go bring about a lot of korbanos. Go build the Beis HaMikdash. Go do some things that are difficult. Right? Become a nozi. One second, let me think about it. Right? Put on tefillin, I have tefillin. I've been doing it every day for as long as I can remember. And I assume I'm going to do it every day for as long as I can think of. And that's it. What's the subject? And the Mishnah is telling you, no, not that way. Heavy rots. You have to run the mitzvah kala. And the same thing in the reverse. Bereach min aveir. Bereach has to run away from aveir. You can't just.
You can ask a question?
Sure.
How can you run the mitzvah kala? It's easy when you're running.
That's the question that we just asked.
The
Mishnah is telling us this thing, and we presented it that the chayyur we're right. We understand not that way. We look at life as simple as it goes, right? Simple as it goes, I'm going fine. Mitzvah kalas, if they're really kalas, fill in. I just gave an example. I'll give you another 1,000 of them, right? Not 1,000, but many mitzvahs that we look at as kalas, right, that are readily available, I have no problem with. There's no difficulty involved, or the difficulty's already passed. It cost money to buy a good pair of tefillin, you have to run around to a good safe in this, but I did that. Right. The soifer has to sweat to make it, the seder, but he did that already. I bought it, right? And it's good, and it was checked, and it's good, fine, finished. Now for the rest of my life, all right, once in 6 years I'm going to check it, but for the rest of my life, I get up in the morning and I put on my tefillin. What's the problem? What's the rush? And the Mishnah is telling you no. Okay? That's a very big kiddush, but we have to understand it. But Dafka, a little bit different than a normal path over here. I want to show that on the simplest level, we don't understand. Right? Simply here, we're talking like, you know, it's very simple, right? You didn't get anything fancy, right? The Mishnah is telling us, get up in the morning and put on tefillin. We assume, right, that there's nothing to run about. That's not the subject. Do it. If you want to tell me do it better, there would be a lot of things I would say. Be mechaven more. Think about what you're doing. Right? But that's a mitzvah. It's in my pocket. There would have to come, we understand there would have to come a force from the outside to prevent me from putting on tefillin. I don't know what type of a sickness Chas V'Sholom would have to come, right, that would prevent me to put on tefillin. I have to run after it. Tefillin I have. It's in my pocket. It's wrapped up. There's nothing there. And the Mishnah don't know. Even the mitzvah kala, we're going to learn the simple pshat is that the chiddush is even. Right? Even a mitzvah kala, you have to run after. If you don't run after it, you're not going to get it. And that's what we're saying. We always hear. Look, we're learning it simple. And we understand.
First of all, if I'm correct with the digra, the word heaven is superfluous in a way. Because if the telling, if the Mishnah is trying to tell us that we can run after the mitzvah, in this case it's a mitzvah kala, they could have said, but as I don't know, what's the mitzvah kala? Heavy ruts mean that it's you taking upon yourself an attitude. It's not necessarily just running, that could be also. But it's you taking part of it, it's a personality change, it's an attitude thing. Heavy ruts. You make yourself as...
Be a Ross.
Be a runner.
Right. Right. Good. Good. Right. So now what does that get you? Good. You got tefillin now? You got your retailer tefillin now? You didn't get it.
You got it?
I didn't hear it yet. It's fine. You understand what does it mean, Ross, for sure?
The way I understood it with the heaven, meaning that in effect there is no such thing as a mitzvah kala, the mission is trying to tell us. But if we look upon a mitzvah, like what the Rav said, as being a mitzvah kala, then human nature could be one that, since we see it as a mitzvah kala, and since it's in front of us all the time, I don't have to think about it. It becomes a natural thing, because like everything else, like the Rav was saying, you wake up in the morning, put on tefillin, so it become heavy ruts, meaning tell us that even those mitzvahs that to you look like a kala, like, you know, nothing to even think about. You have to work upon yourself to realize there is no such thing as a mitzvah kala. You have to be put a personality to be a runner.
We're trying to go in deep. I'm trying to go in simple.
No, that was, right.
I want to know, what does it mean that I should run after tefillin in the morning? Right. I took that as an example. You want a different example? Find a different example. What does it mean I have to run after it? What do I have to do? I'm going to do it anyway. You know I'm going to do it anyway. I've been doing it for years. Right? My father did it, my grandfather, my great-grandfather did it. My kids are doing everything. Everybody knows doing it.
But once you get into that attitude, then you're not doing the mitzvah. You're doing something else. You're brushing your teeth.
No, that's not true. Let's get straight. Halacha. First halacha. Right? A person who gets up in the morning and he puts on tefillin and he's mechav and Hashem, it's his tefillin, right? He is yoytzei mitzvah tefillin. If the mitzvah is kosher. Higher levels, lower levels. But you can't tell me he didn't do the mitzvah.
He did the mitzvah.
So what does it mean? Heavy ruts. What is it telling me to do? I want to just bring out one point. That a Mishnah can't say heavy rots mean do mitzvahs better. Say do mitzvahs better. You don't need a Mishnah to tell you, be good. Right? Do your mitzvahs with kavod. That doesn't mean heavy rots. It just means a general speech, a general musa shmuz, take your mitzvahs more serious. That's not sufficient for a Mishnah. The specific words are being used over heavy rots the mitzvah. So just telling me, you know, take your mitzvahs more seriously, that's not sufficient. I have to hear something. It has to be telling me something specific. Rishonim asked the question already that the understanding of mitzvah, the frat of rots, the frat of mitzvah kalo, is missing, or something missing in the understanding of it. And they give an answer. And we give an answer. So I want to show that we have to have, in simple daily tefillin, the concept of why do you run? Why does a person run? What kind of running are we talking about over here? So there are two types of running that a person runs. Okay. The one running that a person runs is because he has to get there quick. Because either something's going to happen or because the thing is going to run away. The problem is a problem of time. The problem is a problem of speed. The thing's going to run away. It's going to be too late. We're not talking about heavy rots, tefillah, baboker, because you got up 10 minutes before Zman Kriya Shema. That's not the Mishnah talking about. Not because it's going to be too late and you're going to miss the Zman. The Chiddush, the first thing that we have to hear, even on a simple level, is that this rots, you're right, the simple rots of running because it's going to be too late, because the problem is time, that's not the point. That doesn't work. We just showed it clearly. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't apply. There are places where it applies. There are times when that applies too. But the Mishnah is telling us, have you rots the mitzvah kalo, that doesn't fit. So there is another idea why a person runs. There's time when a person runs, not because it's going to be too late. I'm not sure which is more common. It's very probable that the second type of running is much more probable. It's much more common. Most running that a person runs is not because it's going to be too late. We're talking to 5-year-olds, right? That's what we made up. We're going to let them, tell them that the ice cream man is outside. And that they have permission to buy an ice cream cone. See if they walk there or run there. And he's not going away. There's no problem with time. He's not going anywhere. But before you finish saying that they can buy the ice cream cone, they make me forget to take the money. They're out the door so fast. What happened? Where are you running? Where's your rush? In New York, the famous H.A. story. Another famous H.A. story in New York. If you've never seen the rush down the stairs to the A train, it's just something very, very special. It might be a Kedai trip to New York to see it. You have to know there's a train coming every 2.5 minutes. Every 2.5 minutes. And generally, maybe very special times, that, not like that, but most of the time you can get on in any of the trains. Right? So how many people are on a time schedule that 2.5 minutes where they make this train or the next train is going to make a difference? All right, there are a few. 5%, 2%, not more. Not 100%. You go down the stairs, there's lots of these stairs, I don't remember exactly, but it can be a long way to run, and it's hard, and it's hot, and it's crowded, and it's really not comfortable to run that way. And stairs and everything, right? And you'll find hundreds and hundreds of people running. All the people are running. As a matter of fact, I was once walking with somebody who had a little safe on his head, and we were also running. And he stopped me, and he said, "Are you in a rush?" I said, "No." He said, "You in a rush?" He said, "No." "Then why are we running?" "No." "We stopped running. We said we're going to walk down the stairs. We almost got killed." Then we found out that you run, so you shouldn't get run over. But why is everybody running? Not because there's a time problem. Because they want to get there. Now, what's there? If there's something attractive to you, something that speaks to you, something that ignites your interest, the way a person approaches that is he runs. Something that you have to do, you have no interest in, is boring, is a tirdo, is a responsibility. I never saw anybody run to pay taxes. Right? Almost everybody pays taxes on the last day. Not only because of the financial physicalness, because it's good the extra 3.5 days interest, right, to keep the money and they shouldn't get it a day early. Right? No. It's because if I don't have to pay it yet, why pay it? When I do have to pay it, then it's a question why pay it. But until I have to pay it, that's why they came up with this tremendous chiddush of Horat Keva in the world, right, in this country, because people had serious problems paying bills. Because to pay it earlier so you didn't get in trouble of paying late, people don't pay bills earlier. Forget it. They're not going to pay bills earlier. So then you have to have everybody paying the bill on time. Well, then a very large percentage of people are going to forget the last day, and they're not going to pay on time. So, new kunz. Right. You can get the bill 2 weeks earlier, and then automatically it will be paid exactly on time, not 1/2 hour early. Oh, okay, no problem. Because that is a natural and positive teva, proper teva, that ruts is not only a question of time. Ruts is a question of attitude, like you said, Yossi. A person is ruts where he has interest. A person runs to where he feels life, where he feels value, where he feels interest, where he feels positive, where he feels anything from Glida on up. Okay? Ruts, the mitzvah problem. Well, now I hear something. Now I'll take out my tefillin again. And now I hear the mishnah talmud. So now I have a problem. Now yes, he's right. Okay. I have a problem. There are things in the middle. There are things like ice cream for a child that you no thinking, and there's no problem with natural attitude, natural results. He's off and running. Before you say boo, he's off. Come into a classroom, right, and say, who wants recess? And you see how fast they're out the door. Who wants a teal? You see how fast the hands go up. No problem. Even the guy who was sleeping raised his hand. No problem. There are things that nobody will ever do unless they absolutely have to. Things that are painful, things that are negative. And then there are things in the middle. Right? Things that are blah. Pari, gray, zero, non-interest. They don't hurt. But yeah. So the Mishnah has to tell us that not just from the negative things, the veirs that we'll talk about later, but the mitzvah kalo, like the tefillin in the morning. Right, it's not our nona, right? It's not paying taxes. Right? But is it quite ice cream of the child? Is there an interest? Where's the simcha? Is there an interest? Is there a simcha? Do we find... If a person would know that for every time he puts on tefillin, the American government will put away $1,000 for his great-grandchildren. Shuls would be packed. And probably the latest menu would be 6:30. They would say that you can, you know, until 8 o'clock, it's acceptable. Don't know how many people come to a quarter-8 meeting. You get every day $1,000 for the great, you're never going to see it, great-grandchildren. It's only after the person and his son is gone. Right? It's okay. Great grandchildren, hopefully. There won't be anybody there to quote it here. The biggest meaning for sure is going to be the next one. The early meaning, right there, first. Not the last meaning. If a person would see, would live, we take mitzvah kalos especially, mitzvah she'odem dosh pe'ikovot, both on both sides, as something that doesn't do anything for us. If a person was oimid in a tremendous nisoyin, a person tud off and he saved a whole city of people, this made him a great person. If a person put on tefillin, maybe he wouldn't put on tefillin. So what? You kept Shabbos, so what? So everybody keeps Shabbos. So you're not a zero. You're not a black hat. You're not a negative. But big deal, so what? So the first thing that in proper attitude to mitzvahs is that the simplest, lowest kala, mitzvah kala, any way you want to call it, we're going simple level, right? Mitzvah kala. The Mishnah is requiring us that the attitude, the understanding of the value of a mitzvah should require a reaction, a natural reaction from us over us. And here there's no figure. You cannot run as a natural reaction. We're not asking you to run physically. If a person had to run because there's a time problem, you can run because of fear. You can run because of a lot of reasons. The time problem type of running can come because of a lot of negative reasons also. But the rots that comes out of interest, it's got to be for real. It can't come from the outside. It only goes with what really goes on inside a person's nefesh, whatever it has in his heart. A person who values the mitzvahs will run for them. And a person, he can walk slowly to run also, that's not the point. Maybe they'll even bring him to physically run, some people, that's not the point. Heavy rots, the mitzvah kalo. So already we're hearing something. This is a major change. This is a major change in our way of outlook towards mitzvahs. That the Mishnah is coming to teach us and to tell us that the requirement, the proper approach to mitzvahs, requires running. The mitzvah calling, you have to run. And what kind of running? You run from interest. You run from something that has value to you. Something that's meaningful for you. Something that speaks your language. This is something that addresses itself to your to your inner positive reality. A person has within him a on-off switch in his heart. Right? He has positive and negative impulses. Right? Call it whatever you wish. Right? I know they have fancy words for it nowadays. Right? Positive and negative forces. Call it what you wish. A person's level can be determined by whether low level or high level, what turns him on? What gets him interested? If his interests are from low level things, then he's a low level person. If the thing he interests in is higher level things, then he's a higher level person. And both on positive and negative level. A person's yachas to the world, a person's connection to the world, a person, everything the way that it relates to. This world is a world of value, of erech. Ein ke'ekechol ba'olam hazeh. Olam hazeh is a world of a value system. Everything has values, relative values. It's a world of relativity. Everything has values. The existence and the quality of everything in the world is the value that you give it. A mitzvah in order for it to be what the Mishnah is telling us it should be, it has to be valued, not just done. If it's done as a responsibility ba'alma, you're doing something that you don't want to do. You're doing something that you have to do. You're doing something stam kacha, blah. You have nothing against it, you have nothing for it. Just as a matter of course, because that's what you always do. You put on tefillin in the morning. It's not just a responsibility, that's not true. You're happy to put on tefillin, that is true. If somebody would try to force you not to put on tefillin, you would put up a lot of effort to prevent that. Because it is important to you. Okay? That's not yet rutz. It's not sufficient. Not yet rutz. Rutz is alive. It's an active interest. Something that's done, mitzvah zonoshim melumada. Mitzvah zonoshim melumada is done in slow motion. Slow motion physically maybe, and much more so slow motion internally. Nothing much is happening inside. Because you don't feel much is happening outside. What are you doing now? Oh, nothing, I'm just putting on tefillin. Interesting, the Gemara gives tefillin. Yeah, I picked on tefillin, I'm not sure why. But here, just it's like it was the first example in the morning that came up to my mind. But the mitzvah, the Gemara says that they saw one of the Amoraim was very, very happy. On the other Amoraim asked him, how also the Adam the Malus Choy Piyu Boyom Azeh? How do you sound such a tefillin commandment? I'm putting on tefillin. Oh, that's different. The answer is, like we've learned already many times in the missionaries, that when a person is doing a mitzvah, he's made a mazir olam haba. So an olam haba rules follow. In olam hazeh, you want to be happy, right? Be moly simcha from olam hazeh, that's not to say. You can appreciate, you can enjoy, right? Olam Hazeh has good things in it too. And that's why we have full of brachas that we have to appreciate and we have to enjoy. But if it fills you with simcha, so at best, you're a grown child. At best. At worst, let's not talk about it. If that fills you, you glow from it. If you have moly simcha, you can enjoy ice cream. Even adults can enjoy ice cream. And there are adult ice creams. There's all kinds of forms of enjoyments. There's physical pleasures, and then there's more spiritual pleasures. There's covered, and there's kina, and there's nakoma. It's like, there are all kinds of things available in Olam Hazeh. Right? You can get elected president of something. Right? There's successes. If it's finished in Olam Hazeh, we're not a secret. We mentioned a few times, maybe we let it out a little clearer this time. Olam Hazeh, another word for Olam Hazeh is the world of disappointment. It's the world of disappointment. Olam Ha'atzava. Because the bark, the bite is never as big as the bark. Did you ever taste a cake that is as good as the smells when it bakes? Ever? Did you ever plan a vacation and had it all worked out and then did you ever enjoy it as much as the way you planned it? And you worked on a project and a big thing and then you got there and you were elected. And this was a real big goal, and because when you get there and when you got there, then what happened? Well, there's still a lot of problems. Yeah. This world as Olam Hazeh, we've mentioned it many times, is something that we have to get into our inner innards. Olam Hazeh was never, ever, ever intended to be tachlis, and therefore it never will be, and nothing anybody could ever do will ever turn Olam Hazeh into shleimus. It doesn't exist, and therefore you can only pretend it until you bring it out in actualization. As soon as you actualize any plan, if the end product meant any terms of Olam Hazeh, it's always going to be disappointment. Because at the end there should be shleimus. Olam Hazeh doesn't have shleimus in and of itself. If it's Olam Hazeh neto, achzavot. You'll never get there. Simcha can only come from shleimus. Shleimus can only come from real terms, Olam Haba. Every little iota of Olam Hazeh, through the process of mitzvah, can become shleimus. A Jew, he's happy. Shecha Olam Hazeh, Tezach Olam Haba. One of the things that's the sources of anti-Semitism is, why are the Jews still smiling? Why are they still smiling? Yeah, they're going to throw everything at them. Okay. You look at them at Shabbos, they're still smiling. There were books written about this. You know? And the goyim assumed that it must be that they have either secret plans against us, or secret, they only look like they're aniyim, really they have big riches that they hide under there somewhere. Okay. There's got to be something there. In Olam Hazeh terms, wasn't always so. What? More it wasn't than it is. But really happy people are hard to find. Very hard to find. Look for happy people, not people that are hoilus, but happy people. Happy people on a regular day, not at the wedding of their son. Okay. Happy people. Find me a happy person. Okay. 9 out of 10 of them that you're going to find, if you find them, 9 out of 10 of them are going to be Yidden, and 9 out of 10 of them are going to be Lame Detail. Because that's it. Ain't simple, I tell you. Ayidekim and mitzvahs and living Torah, that's the only way there is simcha in the world. That's it, that's what there is. Happiness, goodness, Asherech HaBadam HaZeh. You want Asherech HaBadam HaZeh, there's only one way, Torah and mitzvahs, that's it. That's it. Every mitzvah, Achi Kala Sheva Kalas, has within it two major, major positive things that if we would appreciate and feel and understand, we would naturally rush. If a person wants to make an avoida out of rots, right? That's no good. Okay. That's like making a kid run after ice cream. There is the rare kid, 1 out of 50,000, doesn't like ice cream. And the mother's going to look at him and say, well, why don't you like all the neighbors? Here, you must go out and buy an ice cream cone. He doesn't want an ice cream cone, right? So he's going to work on it. He wants to make his mother happy. Run on it. He's not, forget it. You don't work on rots. If it's something that has real value, then you can work on appreciating the value. The rust will come as a reaction. You can't work on rust. It's not the way to do it. Sometimes there's a dual resultant, and you have to bring out things that are dealt deep down, need to be brought out. But you have that value, just don't bring it out. Bringing it out physically, even physically running, can help bring you into what really goes on the inside. But it starts with having understanding and appreciation and evaluation. There are two intrinsic real values that every mitzvah has that if we would be in touch with this, we would rush. The two of them is Ashecha V'Olam Hazeh V'Tekach V'Olam Haba. Every mitzvah, Achi Kala Sheyeh, has within it the capability of turning Olam Hazeh into Toiv, into Asherecha, and it has it in Tzchar, Olam Hazeh. Every mitzvah. Let's go back to our Tefillin. Tefillin is is a classical type of a mitzvah that we do mitzvahs on Hashem. Yeah. One of the reasons why we don't appreciate it is because it's not difficult, because it's easily available, and because everybody does it. I'm not going to be the, martyr by putting on clothes in the morning. I'm not going to be special. It's not going to turn me around into an instant tzaddik because I put on tefillin in the morning. It's not going to solve all my ruchni stika problems. I'm just going to put on tefillin in the morning. That's all. Yeah? What's it going to do for me? I put on tefillin in the morning. Yeah. I'm not going to not put on tefillin, but where's the rots? Where's the rots? Why do we put on tefillin? How do we put on tefillin? Because the Jew puts on tefillin. Because the father did, my grandfather did, I learned it from Loch, and I know that's what you got to do, and I do it. Finish. Now, where's the rots? Asherecho ba'olam hazeh v'tovu lecho olam haba. I believe it was Chofetz Chaim who gave the Moshe. He said the reason why everything was created in this world, and the further along technology gets, is because we need clearer and clearer mashal and gashmim for dvarim ruchniyim. So I think it was Chofetz Chaim who said that the reason why radio was created so that we can understand tefillah. Okay. Here, there's a little black box. A little black box. Somebody will come to you. You never seen a radio. You never heard of a radio. You're in the 1730s, right? And somebody comes to you with a radio and says, here, listen, you see this little black box? It's got a little thing on the side, and you go like this, and you know, different conditions, I won't bother you with that. And but all you have to do is, see, you just take the switch and you go like that, and you'll hear somebody speaking on the other side of the world. What do you say about that? Either you're crazy, or a magician, or some other form of it, but forget it. Right? It's not really wrong, right? Here we are in modern age. You take a 7-year-old kid, show him a radio, right? And you can hear what the President of the United States is saying. Right? Yeah. But don't you see, you turn on the button and you hear it? Yeah. What do you want to tell me, Abba? Turn on the radio and you hear it. I want to tell you the truth. I want to really tell you the truth. I've heard, I learned, I read, I looked, right, into all kinds of explanations and the stories that will tell you how a radio works. Right? I don't believe it. I don't. Right? Could be I'm stupid. Could be I just don't understand. Right? But you know how many radios there are in the world? Now with the telephone radios, and there's not much time involved. You know, you can time it, and it's like milliseconds. And how many transmitters there are transmitting? If I had all the radio receivers that are available to all the different frequencies, how many radios and how many telephones can I pick up in this room right now? 50,000 for sure. Right? So you want to tell me that I'm being bartered all the time by 50,000 radio waves? Right? Yeah. And that's meaningless and doesn't touch me and then nothing. Right? That's all zero. It's not negeir b'chlal, doesn't affect your health, wealth, or well-being, nothing going there. Right? The only thing it makes enough to mean is that if I have this little box and I go like that and then I'll hear it clearly, just it, nothing else. Talk to somebody else. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But I see it works, okay, so it must work. I don't know. I don't really know if they know how it works. Just like most things, just like chizzy, just like aspirin. They saw that it works and you go vita. And they know what technically you do to get it to work. But if they know how it works, I'm not sure. These are a lot of times these are answers that, well, it must be. Well, you see that this happens, so it must be that there's something that goes from here to there and we'll call it a wave and then it's explained because we have a name for it. I don't buy all these stories. I really don't believe. Okay? But one thing that Chofetz Chaim is 100% clear. Okay? That if you understand that if a person, okay, has a radio, he can hear what's going on in the Dodger Stadium in Chicago, wherever the Dodgers are. In LA, sorry. I never was very good at this. Then if the Rebbein Shem told us how to build a radio, that it can pick up things that go on from Shemayim, it's not such a beginning. I mean, if that, there's not, they already have radios and get to the moon, and to, I don't know where they're holding already, but probably not much further than that, right? So yeah, big deal. Okay. So why, it doesn't have wires, it has letters, that's ridiculous. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. So once you see a radio, so then you can know that tefillin means one of these black boxes, and a person comes with a different type of connection to Ruchnius, to the Bainish. The time that a person is wearing tefillin in particular, tefillin is a receiver. And it receives Ruchnius waves. It brings in Amunah. It brings in Tahara. It brings in Kedusha. It brings in Machshavos Tovos. It brings in connection to Kedusha. Brings a connection to Ruchnius. Brings in a person. So everything that we say in the Siddurei, you know, mumble the word, whatever. That's what it does. Okay. And therefore, a person who wore tefillin, right, has a chance that even if he has to walk down Rehov Yafo, he can get there without going to get him. Okay. He can get straight down Rehov Yafo without going to get him in the middle. Okay. Because he's had an injection in the morning, right, of Kedusha waves. And Kedusha waves are repellent of tumor waves. So even if there are things that come in from the outside that want to, can help. Any person who has an awareness of the problems of tznius, suffers. He pushes, suffers. He has difficulty every time that he has to deal with going where there is priests. That's the way that you should feel. And then he'll have a simcha, okay, that he knows that he gets every morning from the Rebbein Shalom straight down in Shemayim, an injection of Kedusha. Kedusha. Kai, Shav, Muna. Vitamin pills. Ruchni is the vitamin pills straight down. That's not Olam Habo yet. That's Olam Hazeh. Here, I didn't turn it into tomatoes. I didn't turn it into gluida, right? I didn't turn it into money. Right? But Olam Hazeh, having it good in Olam Hazeh, that you can already see in Tefillah. Toiv loch l'Olam Habo. Here we have a difficulty in that we have no Hasoga Pratis in Olam Habo at all. In Olam Habo, we lose sight of time, like we do here in Olam Hazeh sometimes also, and place and size. And it's difficult for us to have any asaga of what the difference is between a mitzvah kala and a mitzvah chamura, one mitzvah, many mitzvahs, a higher mitzvah and a lower mitzvah, a higher person, although we don't have the kalim to discuss. Right? Just like in mathematics, we can discuss relative values of finite numbers. But how much is 2 times infinite? It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Once you're an infinite, it doesn't matter. So Olam Habo, in relation to Olam Hazeh, is at least the difference between infinite and finite in numbers. And therefore, more and less, it's difficult. We have no Hasoga Pratis in Olam Habo. Ava, that is a Muna, the Klal Yisrael has. That every mitzvah, filo akalos, shava kalos, is boine mokim in Olam Habo. So, we'll stop here. I don't know what time we started. At least we started. What? Right, at least we got two words. Right? We have a little understanding. It wasn't a rough limit. Our job. It's a homework. I'm going to give homework. If you don't do it, right. This is a difficult mishnah to be clean of before. There are deeper trouble. There are further levels. There is a danger in going there. The further we go into deeper levels, the more we can distance ourselves from this simple first level, which is the one that we should spend the most time on, the one that we have to give practically the basic. Here, we just took the beginning of the mishnah. First there was a rotz mitzvah, we gave one example of tefillah. We didn't do that sufficiently, but you have the idea, you have the concept. Right? We have a lot of mitzvah kalos that we do, even in any good old regular normal week. Right? Find one. One a day, one a week, each person going to. And first see if you are a rotz. I mean, good chance you'll find you're not. Quite, I don't know, maybe you. But there's a possibility that to some degree you'll find that you're not. And then think about it. And you'll see that it's a very interesting thing. That if you think about it in the terms that we talk about, and you just think about it, 5 minutes, you'll see the next time that you'll do it, it'll be different. You'll go from a slow crawl to schlepping your feet. Okay, so think about it for another 5 minutes. Every time a person thinks about these things, the person pays attention to these things, right? It's easy in tzedakah. Because the means we have, the knowledge, the simpler knowledge we have, the reality that mitzvahs are valuable, that we're interested in them, that that's what we really want, is all true. But there's a secret. The secret we'll talk about next week. So that's the homework. The homework is, so then let's see. Let's see if we can connect ourselves to this concept. And then there is a certain point when a person does this and succeeds. So then there's a certain idea. So 1 minute. What happened until now? Where was I? But this is really stupid. What do you mean? The years I've been doing this thing without any connection, without any simcha, without any... I didn't know what I was doing. I was taking pearls and I was looking at it as pebbles. What's going on? I was picking up pearls and looking at them as pebbles, and there's something funny. We'll stop here.